So I think I'll also reintroduce because I don't hear Mataji's voice. Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Today's class will be given by His Grace, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. Prabhu, thank you for joining us. You can now take it. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, chapter 18 and verse 37 onwards. Thank you, Prabhu.
Someone will show me the slokas, the Vedabhas.
Yes, Prabhu. Or we have also given you co-host in case you want, but someone else is screening too.
That's better, Mati. Someone can show. Yeah.
Also, I was asked to speak something on Chidadehi festival because tomorrow is Chidadehi. I'll speak for 2 minutes and then come to this. Is that fine?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we will be celebrating this Chidadehi festival. So I'll speak a few words on Chidadehi festival as requested. Just now we tasted Chidadehi here in our GEV kitchen, because tomorrow they want to do in a big scale, and today they made a sample and then made few devotees taste it. So it's the memories are very fresh in the mind. So this pastime of Chidadehi festival comes in the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das Goswami, it's in 6th chapter, I think. So Raghunath Das Goswami was always eager to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He always tried to escape from his house and go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri and then stay with him only. He has absolutely no interest in family life and money and other kinds of enjoyment that's there in the material circuits. So he has been longing to go to Lord Chaitanya, but somehow his father always would just catch him back. Father would always keep some guards and servants to protect Raghunath Das Goswami and make sure that he doesn't leave home. So Raghunath Das Goswami got some opportunities to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur. And Raghunath Das also was very fortunate enough to get the association of Advaitacharya in Shantipur. He got profuse blessings. And Raghunath Das Goswami was staying at home because Mahaprabhu advised him, don't become a mad or crazy person. So don't become impatient. So you stay at home and live like a normal businessman who is interested in some family affairs. So when the right time comes, you will come to me. Right? So Krishna will make arrangements in such a way that you will definitely come to me. So don't worry, wait for that opportune moment and don't become very impatient. Okay. So Raghunath Das Goswami has been waiting for this moment. So meanwhile, Lord Nityananda Prabhu comes to that area, and Raghunath Das Goswami goes with some of his servants to meet Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to see him. From a distance, he sees Nityananda Prabhu and offers obeisances to Nityananda, and he becomes very enlightened to have the darshan of Nityananda. Nityananda also notices Raghunath Das Goswami and says, come here. You should come here and distribute. Actually, first he says that you are a thief. You are hiding from me. So I will give you one punishment. So bring milk and bring yogurt and bring flat rice, chipped rice, and make chida dahi and chida dudh, dugdha chida and dahi chida, and distribute to all the devotees. There were hundreds of devotees. So Raghunath Das Goswami actually became so happy. He has a lot of money. He was the son of a very, very wealthy person, Govardhan Majumdar. And Hiranya Majumdar was his uncle. So these two brothers, these two Majumdars were very wealthy. And Raghunath Das Goswami had access to so much of wealth. So now that he got some opportunity to utilize all that wealth in Mahaprabhu's service, Nityananda Prabhu's service, he became very excited. And then he purchased so much of dahi, doodh and chip rice. And he got two huge pots and then started mixing. He just got some cooks and then he started mixing this chip rice along with some fruits and dry fruits in that milk, one pot with milk and one pot with curd. So he would mix and then he would make nice chida dahi and chida doodh. And he gives small pots, two small pots to each devotee there. And then he pours dugdha chida in one pot and dahi chida in one pot. And then all the devotees were enjoying. Some devotees sat on there's a big tree and there's a nice platform, circular platform around that tree. And some devotees sat on that platform. Nityananda Prabhu also sat there. And Mahaprabhu also came there to eat this. But he was visible only to few people, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many devotees sat under that platform. Some devotees sat on the road. Some devotees sat on the banks of the river. Some devotees went inside the river and they were standing inside the river because it was so crowded. Not much place was there. But everyone was distributed. So several devotees took charge of distributing this chida dahi. So like that, devotees celebrated this big festival in a very joyous manner. And Raghunath Das Goswami received profuse blessings from all these Vaishnavas who accepted prasadam and blessed him. And Nityananda Prabhu agreed. Nityananda Prabhu blessed this Raghunath Das Goswami that very soon he will be attaining the darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he has been longing for it. So it's a very great celebration where devotees become very joyful eating this. But the most important thing, aspect of this, most important feature of this nice festival is Sangha, Vaishnava Sangha. So Tadati Pratigrahnati Guhyamakhyati Pruchati Bhumte Bhojayate Chiva Shadvidham Priti Lakshana. There are six loving exchanges amongst devotees. As our Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita. So Dadati Pratigrahnati, giving gifts and accepting gifts. Guhyamakhyati Pruchati, sharing secrets, means you reveal your heart to other devotees in confidence and other devotees also will share their realizations and their feelings, right? Devotional ecstasies and their struggles in their sadhana, their excitements in their spiritual life, they can share and you can hear. That is Guhyamakhyati Pruchati. Bhumte Bhojayate Chiva means eating prasadam when other devotees give us that prasadam and feeding prasadam when we have that prasadam. So by these six loving exchanges, the relationships and friendships between Vaishnavas will become more thick. So we cannot take the opportunity to eat prasadam with other devotees for granted. Right? So as much as possible, we should take prasadam with other devotees as much as possible. Right? Just within one family also, there will be 4 or 5 members, 7 or 8 members in the family. There will be at least 3 or 4 members. Right, wife, husband, and one child. Okay. So if they all eat together, they can stay together, united, and their relationships also will become very sweeter. So Rupa Goswami says, "Dadati pratigrahnati, giving gifts and taking gifts." So whenever there's an opportunity, you should just offer something. Here, Raghunath Das Goswami is offering so many gifts to Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. So he would give. I think Raghav Pandit was there coordinating this visit and this interaction. So this Raghunath Das Goswami gives a lot of money to Nityananda Prabhu and his associates as Dakshina. Okay. Pratigrahanadi, what does he receive in return? He receives only blessings. He did not give anything in exchange of any material benefit or even name fame. He just wants blessings from all these Vaishnavas, prayers from all these Vaishnavas. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I bless you that you attain Mahaprabhu's darshan very soon. And he also said, oh devotees, this person, Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to leave his family and then he wanted to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the rest of his life. All of you should offer your prayers and blessings to this Raghunath Das so that he will soon attain the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, association of Lord Chaitanya. So by being very humble servant of devotees, we receive their profuse blessings. Here we see in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, he gave them prasad, he offered them dakshina, and he received profuse blessings and encouragements and prayers of all these devotees. Dadati Pratigrahanati, Guhyamakhyati Pratchiti. Secretly, he even revealed his heart to Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, I'm really tired and frustrated being at home. I am not at all interested in this business affairs of my father. I don't want any money or any opulence. I just want to live like a renunciant under the protection of Lord Chaitanya. So he shared his heartfelt desire and Nityananda Prabhu also blessed him. Very soon you will fulfill your desire. Then Bhumte Bhojayate Jeva, he fed prasad. Okay. So now we cannot imagine the power of giving prasadam to other devotees and accepting prasadam from devotees. Because prasadam is non-different from Krishna. And when that prasadam is offered with love and devotion and honored with respect and care, certainly the devotees who are just distributing prasadam and eating prasadam, they will develop thick, loving relationships with each other. Right? So now you see you are alone sitting there and then eating some rasagulla, rasamal, paneer or whatever, very tasty food items. And you are eating khichdi, simple khichdi, non-spicy khichdi with 10 other devotees, which is more fulfilling, which is more satisfying. Certainly the second case. Because it's not just the taste of prasadam that gives satisfaction. It is also the company that we keep that gives satisfaction, that makes that prasadam also very relishable. Just consider these two cases. One, you ate all your favorite items and then your tongue is satisfied, your belly is satisfied. Secondly, you distributed the prasadam to everyone and at the end, you missed some of your favorite or exciting items, right? Sweet is over or the fried item is over. But still, heart is completely satisfied because you have selflessly distributed prasad. And mothers have this experience. Sometimes on festival days or some special occasions, mothers may make such nice preparations, spending a lot of time and energy, sitting for 2 hours or 3 hours in the kitchen in front of fire. And she feeds the whole family. And if the family becomes very enthusiastic to eat this nice preparation, then they eat everything and hardly leaving only some rice and dal for the mother and completing all the exciting items, still mother is happy, satisfied. Because her satisfaction is in feeding the children and other family members to their heart's content. And when they're happy, she becomes happy. So, happiness is there in selflessness, not in selfishness. Okay. So, distributors of prasadam, they derive more satisfaction than people who are eating prasadam. Of course, people who are eating prasadam also will be satisfied. But people who are distributing prasadam are especially satisfied. There is special happiness that they feel in feeding Vaishnavas. So, as much as possible, as much as it is practical, we should try to take prasadam together and that will also bring our hearts closer, right? So that's like one nice thing that we see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only in Chidadehi festival, in several other places. We will also see this after Gundicha Margin, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributes prasadam to everyone. And he also eats. And Rathyatra, during Rathyatra time also, Mahaprabhu distributes prasadam and then eats profuse quantities of prasadam. So like there are so many, like Sarvam Bhattacharya calls Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house and then he feeds prasadam. So much prasadam. At that time only Amogha comes and criticizes Lord Chaitanya. So these are certain prasadam pastimes. So there are so many prasadam pastimes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only feeding prasadam, Kaviraj Goswami looks like he's a great cook. He also gives elaborate description of the food preparations. And he also gives the names of all these items. So there are a few thoughts on Chidadahi festival. So now we will see this, the current chapter that we are supposed to discuss. Hare Krishna. Can someone show the chapter? This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, 18th chapter. Etabali sabe fire prabhure chahiya samudre re tire aila kata janalaya. So talking like this, the devotees wandered here and there looking for the Lord. Finally they came to the shore accompanied by many others. We are in the climax, the ending chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees this sea and then jumps into the sea. He just remembers the blue sea and remembers Krishna. Or sometimes whenever he sees a water body, he remembers Yamuna. Whenever he sees some trees there, he just remembers Vrindavan. Whenever he sees little hillock, he remembers Govardhan. So like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is constantly in Vrindavan memories, Vrindavan consciousness. So now when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just jumped into this sea, all the devotees started searching for him. Next shloka. Chahiye bedhate aiche ratri se shahila antardhana haila prabhu nishchaya karila. So they were looking for Mahaprabhu everywhere. While they were searching for the Lord, the night ended. Ratri se shahila aiche ratri se shahila antardhana haila prabhu. Mahaprabhu has disappeared. Nishchaya karila, they have decided. Because they searched everywhere throughout the night, but Mahaprabhu was not seen. So generally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just go into ecstasy during the nights in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Then he was pacified by Ramananda Rai and Swarupa Damodar Goswami, because these two devotees would recite relevant shlokas from Jayadeva Goswami's compositions, Kalidasa's compositions, Chandidasa's compositions, like this, and pacify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they think that they need to recite those shlokas that accompany Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is constantly absorbed in the thought of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. So pacify him, just to encourage him, just to remind him of the relevant pastimes from Krishna Leela. So Ramananda Rai and Swarupa Damodar Goswami recite those shlokas, recite those poems or songs, so that Mahaprabhu can enjoy the mode of Srimati Radharani nicely in separation from Krishna. So till midnight, they both accompany Lord Chaitanya and then help him relish the mode of Radharani. And then Mahaprabhu slowly would just go into sleep. And devotees would guard this room, Govinda and Sarvadamar Goswami, they would just stay there only near Gambhira. So Gambhira room has three doors. So although the three doors are closed and outside the devotees are just waiting, devotees are just sleeping, guarding Mahaprabhu, still Mahaprabhu just come out of the room. And they would search everywhere in the night because Mahaprabhu was not there. So then they try to see him everywhere, and sometimes they see Mahaprabhu in some goshala, or sometimes they would see Mahaprabhu at some gate of Jagannath temple. Like Mahaprabhu can be seen anywhere. But this night, the devotees searched everywhere, but Mahaprabhu was not seen. So next shloka. They thought that Mahaprabhu had disappeared from this planet. Okay. Next shloka, 39th shloka. Can someone scroll down? Or I can also scroll. Prabhura vichedekara dehena hi prana anishta anishta shanka vinakara mane nahi an. So prabhura vichedekara dehena hi prana. So vicheda means separation. Due to separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them felt as if they had lost their life. Deha nahi prana, there is no life in their body. They felt like that. Anishta shanka vina kara mani nahi. So the devotees concluded that there must have been some mishap. They could not think of anything else. So the extent of feelings of separation of devotees is so intense that one shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, you can close this for a while till I come to the next shloka. So, so there are very several shlokas in Srimad Bhagavatam that say that devotees cannot tolerate the pangs of separation from Krishna. Yasya kshana viyogena loko hyam priya darshanah Ukthena rahito hesha mritakah prochyate yatha. Just a moment of separation from Krishna can render all the universes into void. They appear like dead bodies to the devotees in separation from Krishna. Sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahinami. Means even one moment of separation from Lord Govinda will make devotees just throw into would throw devotees into a state of melancholy. So they just cannot survive. They cannot afford to miss Krishna even for a moment. Yes, yakshanam yogena loko hipri darshana. This is the extent of separation that devotees feel. And this is spoken by Arjuna. So when Krishna disappeared from this planet, Arjuna just could not tolerate the feelings of separation. Now, Yudhishthira Maharaj also could not tolerate the feelings of separation. So actually, Yudhishthira Maharaj had sent Arjuna to Dwaraka just to find out the next program of Krishna. So Arjuna went to Dwaraka and he stayed for 7 months, but he did not come back. So meanwhile, Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing so many dangerous symptoms in his kingdom. So he was seeing all inauspicious moments in his kingdom. So So he was suspecting Kalinga has come. He's seeing that some deities are crying within the temples. And he was also seeing that some jackals and owls were just making their inauspicious sounds. And the seasons got changed. And the nature of people got changed. People started exhibiting a lot of deceit and a lot of cheating propensities, even within their family members. Like that, he is seeing all kinds of dangerous moments. And he was sharing with Bhima, what happened? Arjuna did not come yet. Meanwhile, I am seeing all the symptoms. Then Arjuna has come there. So Arjuna was so morose, because by this time Krishna has departed. Arjuna was looking so morose and so tired, so dejected. Seeing him, Yudhishthira Maharaj comes forward and then asks him several questions. How are you, Arjuna? How are our Yadus? You are coming from Dwaraka. Is Krishna safe? Is Balaramji safe? How is Ugrasena? How is Vasudev? How are his 18 wives? How are the 16,000 queens of Krishna? How is Uddhava? How is Aniruddha? How is Pradyumna? So like that he is asking about everybody in Dwaraka, and Arjuna was not responding at all. Then Yudhishthira has asked some personal questions to Arjuna. Arjuna, is your health okay? How are you? Or have you been defeated by some equal or some inferior in a war? Why are you looking so morose? Or could you not feed other people, deserving people? Did you just eat your meals before feeding someone? Because a Kshatriya householder is supposed to be distributing some charity before he himself eats. So, like that, he identified several reasons as the causes of Arjuna's dejection, but Arjuna was not responding. And finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj frankly asked, are you feeling separation from Krishna? That's why you are looking so morose. Are you feeling the loss of your dear friend Krishna? So, and that's the reason. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very intelligent. He was intelligent enough to figure out that Krishna has already departed from this world. But still, he's asking so many questions to Arjuna because although his intelligence was able to figure out Krishna's disappearance, his heart is unable to accept it. So, emotions are stronger than intelligence. Right? That's why Krishna says, dovetail your emotions in me. That's the highest form of bhakti. If you can't do it, at least engage your intelligence in me. If you can't even do that, engage your senses in me. Mayyeva mana adhatsva vai buddhim niveshaya. Mayyeva mana adhatsva means engage your mind in me. That's the topmost form of bhakti, which is called smaranatmika bhakti. Mai buddhim niveshaya means engage your intelligence in me. That is little lesser, right? That is called mananatmika bhakti. And if you can't even do that, there is abhyasa rupa bhakti. Engage your senses in me. Okay. If you can't even do that, at least assist those devotees who are engaging themselves in Krishna's service. So like that, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives different levels of bhakti. But the highest stage of bhakti is to absorb one's emotions in Krishna's service. To always be absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna. That's what the gopis are doing. So, yadohane vaharane mathanopalepa prinkam khanar bharuditokshana marjanadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshri kanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. So, devotees, like gopis in Vrindavan, they constantly absorb their minds in Krishna's service, in Krishna's remembrance. So now Arjuna, who is accustomed to always think of Krishna and have the six loving exchanges. We were discussing about six loving exchanges amongst devotees. Dadati, Pratigrahnati, Guhyam Akhyati, Pruchyati, Bhukti, Bhojayate, Cheva. Arjuna was having his six loving exchanges with Krishna directly. Okay. How? Darshana, Sparsha, Samlapa, Shayanasana, Bhojanehi. Darshana, he was seeing Krishna. All the Pandavas, not only Arjuna. Darshana, Sparsha, they were touching Krishna. Samlapa, they were conversing with Krishna. Darshana, Sparsha, Samlapa, Shayana, they were sleeping with Krishna. Achana means they were sitting with Krishna. Bhojanehi, they were eating with Krishna. They were having six loving exchanges directly with Krishna. When that Krishna left this planet, how much separation they would feel. That is an intolerable separation. They cannot tolerate such high degree of separation from Krishna. Even Mother Bhumi also, of all the devotees on this earthly planet who got Krishna's association, the devotee who got the maximum association of Krishna was Bhumi Devi. Okay. So whether Krishna was in Vrindavan or Mathura or Dwaraka or Hastinapur or wherever he is, his lotus feet are always in touch with the earth, okay, with Bhumi Devi. So especially in Vrindavan, he is directly touching his lotus feet directly to Bhumi even without shoes. Vrindavanam sakhi bhubo avitanu tikirtim yaddeva kisutapadam bujalabdha lakshmi. So the land of Vrindavan is spreading the glories of this entire earthly planet because this Vrindavan received the great fortune of Krishna's lotus footprints. Right? So So, and as at least when Krishna just jumps into the air to kill some demon, then Madhavendra has little separation. Otherwise, she's always in touch with Krishna's divine lotus feet. And her hairs are standing on it. Kavasa heta viraham purushottamasya premavalokaruchirasmitavalgu jalpaihi sthairyam samanam aharan madhumanineena romoksabhomayadan dhrivitankitaya. So who can tolerate the pangs of separation from Krishna? Because by his loving appeals, sweet smiles and pleasant conversations, he would completely captivate the hearts of his sweethearts like Satyabhama, Rukmini and others. And when he was doing his pastimes on earth's surface, the hairs of Mother Earth were standing on end. Means all the grasses and plants, they're like hairs of Mother Earth, they were standing on end. Okay. So in this way, Mother Earth was rejoicing the association of Krishna, but when Krishna disappeared from this planet, she was in intense feelings of separation from Krishna. Pandavas were in intense feelings of separation from Krishna. So now all the devotees at Jagannath Puri, when they could not find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in spite of searching for him throughout Jagannath Puri at different places, they were in intense feelings of separation. Let's go to the shloka. So in the shloka we have seen that devotees could not tolerate the viraha. Viraha means separation. Okay. So, prabhura vichedakara deha nahi prana. In separation from Krishna, they could not maintain their lives within their bodies. And they expected that some mishap had happened. They could not think of anything else. Anishta, here is the shloka, next shloka. Can you please scroll down? Here is the devotee who is doing this. Anishta shankini bandhu hridayani bhavanti. Please scroll down. Some problem is there? Please scroll down. Yeah, a relative or intimate friend is always fearful of some injury to his beloved. Okay. So when the beloved person is attacked by some kind of calamity, a person who loves him or her will definitely feel bad. They will feel that pain. That's very natural. For example, Krishna was caught in the coils of Kaliya. For one muhurta, Krishna was dancing. Krishna was allowing himself to be bound by the coils of Kaliya. So all the Vrajavasis were observing this whole scene. Standing on the shore of Kaliya Lake, they were in intense pain. What happened to Krishna? Why is this happening to Krishna? Some Vrajavasis headed by Nanda Maharaj, they were even about to jump into Kaliya Lake to protect Krishna, but somehow Balaramji just caught them and then brought them back. So, devotees cannot see Krishna in pain. So, when Bakasur came and swallowed Krishna, then all the gopas just fainted there. And Balaramji also fainted. So Balaramji is very well aware of Krishna's prowess. And all these gopas have definitely seen Krishna fighting with so many other demons and then killing so many demons and their powers, Krishna's powers, they all have seen. But out of intense emotions, intense love and affection, these devotees could not tolerate when Krishna was swallowed by Bakasura. So similarly, when Krishna was dancing, Krishna was caught by the coils of Kaliya, all the Vrajavasis on the shore of Kaliya Lake, they also were feeling so much pain. So that's the nature of love. A relative or intimate friend is always fearful of some injury to his beloved. So injury. So although Krishna was sent into this forest early in the morning, along with the cows and gopas, still, Mother Yashoda would feel anxiety. Oh, what will happen to my dear, darling child, Krishna? He's walking barefoot in the forests of Vrindavan. Some pebbles and some thorns and some sharp rocks might pierce his tender, butter soft feet. So she was always in anxiety. Did he eat lunch on time? So much of anxiety Mother Yashoda had. So that anxiety, and even when Krishna and Balaram were infant babies, so they were very restless and they were very naughty. They would crawl like snakes in the mud of Vrindavan, and they would go and then pull the tail of a calf, or then beat some monkey, and then when the monkey opens its mouth, they will count the teeth of the monkey. They would be attracted to fire, some knives, and birds. There was a peacock. Peacock seems very beautiful, but if you go close to peacock might just bite, and then the sharp beak might could hurt us. So Krishna would just play with peacock, of course. Vrindavan peacocks will never hurt Krishna, of course. But Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini were constantly in anxiety. They could not focus on their household duties because these two restless boys, Krishna and Balaram, would go anywhere. That's why Mother Yashoda and Rohini Mata were always in anxiety, because Krishna and Balaram might get some injury. So now when Krishna was taken by Nanda Maharaj to Mathura, Akrura comes and takes Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj also follows, and many other gopas also follow. So that day, when Krishna and Balaram and some gopas visited Mathura city, they did some mischief there. Okay, so you know what they did? They killed a washerman. Krishna killed a washerman, and Krishna broke the sacrificial bow. Krishna started beating some soldiers, and Krishna and Balaram together killed some soldiers also. And after doing all that, they came back to their house. They didn't even take bath. They slept. They ate that rice mixed with milk and sugar, which Mother Yashoda had packed for them in the morning. They ate that and they slept. They slept peacefully after killing some people, but Nanda Maharaj could not sleep peacefully. Why? Because he was thinking that what will happen? These boys are so mischievous. They did a lot of havoc here. And tomorrow Kamsa may do something. Kamsa may punish them, or Kamsa may kill them. What's going to happen? So Nanda Maharaj could not sleep whole night. Because the same principle here. A relative or intimate friend is always fearful of some injury to his beloved. Similarly, all the Vrajavasis, all the Jagannathpurvasis, they were so anxious of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's safety. 41st sloka. Samudrera tireyasi yukati karila charaya parvata dike kata janakela. When they arrived at the seashore, they conferred amongst themselves. Then some of them sought out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Chataka Parvata. Sometimes Mahaprabhu sees Chataka Parvata, he thinks that it is Govardhan Parvata, and then he even offers prayers also. Antaya Madrira Bala Haridasa Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramotaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Gadayostayo Arya Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kandamuli. So in this way, Mahaprabhu offers prayers, and he would just run behind Chataka Parvata, and all the devotees will run behind him. And after going to Chataka Parvata, Mahaprabhu just thinks. Next, 42. 42nd sloka. Can you please scroll down? Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, are you not seeing it, Prabhuji? It is available.
Sorry? Purva Dishaya Chale Swarupa Layaka Tajana Sindhuti Re Nire Karena Prabhura Anveshan. So, Sarva Damodara Goswami proceeds east with others, looking for the Lord on the beach or in the water. Next. What is it? Vishade vihvala sabhe nahika chetana tabu preme bule kari prabhura anveshan. Everyone was overwhelmed with moroseness and almost unconscious, but out of ecstatic love, they continued to wander here and there searching for the Lord. I think 43 is the last sloka, right? For today's Okay, then you can close this. We recited up to.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So, in this way, all the devotees at Jagannath Puri, they were searching for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere out of love for him and feeling intense separation from him. So, here Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita demonstrates the deep love that exists between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So the reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance are twofold: internal reasons and external reasons. So all the activities that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does in Chaitanya Charitamrita can be seen from these two perspectives. Some pastimes are demonstrated to fulfill the reasons for to fulfill the external reasons for his descent. So the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent are to establish Yuga Dharma of Nama Sankirtan and to bestow Krishna Prema or Vraja Prema to common people. And the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent are that he just wanted to glorify Srimati Radharani's love and experience the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. So Mahaprabhu does both pastimes. So in Madhya Leela especially, the external reasons are very prominent. And in Antya Leela, several chapters, the internal reasons are very prominent. So in both cases, whether Mahaprabhu is doing some pastime to fulfill the external reasons for his descent or internal reasons for his descent, his devotees are there to cooperate with him. Mahaprabhu wanted to spread Yoga Dharma and spread Krishna Bhakti or Vraja Bhakti amongst people. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they assisted him in writing literature. Nityananda Prabhu and many other devotees assisted him in spreading Harinam's. And Mahaprabhu wanted to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, experience the mode of Srimati Radharani, feel separation from Krishna. Then Sarupa Damodara Goswami and Ramanandra, these two devotees assisted. And many other devotees also could understand what Mahaprabhu is going through. Okay, Mahaprabhu would even just put his face against the wall of Gambhira and then just rub his face against that wall, and the face would bleed completely out of his intense separation. He would do anything. It seems quite mad, but that's the absorption that he had. He cannot realize the external bodily transformations that he's manifesting. Sometimes Mahaprabhu's body would just get so elongated that it's just a bag of bones, right? So the body would become very elongated, very much contracted, right? Now all these joints are just fixed, and then you have, where is what? But just imagine all these bones, little bones, they're put in a sack and then they're just loosely there, present within a bag of skin. So Mahaprabhu's body would become like that. All these joints get disconnected. Out of ecstasy, right? So this is ecstasy that Mahaprabhu is just manifesting. He was so absorbed in the mode of Srimati Radharani. Some of these things we cannot digest, we cannot relate with. We can never witness them also. We can only see them within Kaviraj Goswami's description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? So Mahaprabhu is just experiencing the mode of Srimati Radharani. The very main purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent is to glorify the love that the gopis had for Krishna. So, and in separation, that love is experienced and expressed to the maximum possible extent, right? So, the gopis of Vrindavan love Krishna so much that they experience millions of yugas of separation within one eye blink, which we cannot even realize that we are blinking our eyes constantly. Okay. So once Srimati Radharani and Krishna were sitting next to each other, and Madhumangal and other gopas and gopis were also there. So one bumblebee was bothering Radharani, saying zzzz, like making the sound. And it's coming on her face, and Radharani got a little disturbed, bothered. And Krishna called Madhumangal, "Madhumangal, Madhu, chase this bee away." And Madhumangal comes and then he chases the bee away and then comes back and gives a report to Krishna. Krishna, Madhu went away. Madhu means the bee. Bee went away. Madhumangal is also called Madhum sometimes. And the bee is also called Madhu. Madhu Mandal. And Krishna is also called Madhu because he is very sweet. Okay. So Radharani thought that Krishna went away. Madhumangal said Madhu went away. He meant that the bee went away. But Radharani thought that Krishna went away. So Radharani felt so much of separation from Krishna that she started crying tears. Then Krishna asked, what happened, Radharani? Why are you crying? And Radharani said, Madhu went away, Krishna went away. Then, I am here only, I am right next to you. See, look at me. But Radharani could not even hear, could not even bear the pain of the thought that Krishna went away. He could not even hear such a statement. She was crying, crying, and seeing her intense love, Krishna started crying. And the combined tears of Radharani and Krishna formed a big lake called Prem Sarovar, which is still there in Vrindavan. So to this degree, Krishna and Radharani love each other. And especially when Krishna was just going away from Vrindavan, Akrura was taking Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, all the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis of Vrindavan, they were feeling intense separation from him. So somewhere in the night time, late in the night, this decision was taken. So Akrura comes and informs everything. Akrura comes somewhere in the evening time to Vrindavan, and late in the evening, they had some discussions. Akrura had some discussions with Krishna and Balaram. Then Krishna comes out and then tells Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, Kamsa wanted us to come there. So he wanted you also to come. He wanted me and Balaramji also to come and attend this Dhanuryada. So please make an announcement. So with great reluctance, very long and heart-touching pastime, that Nanda Maharaj just comes out and then he announces, helplessly he announces, although he is not very convinced about it, he announces that, okay, tomorrow all of us have to go to Mathura, and even Krishna and Balaram also have to go. So, like, everyone had some doubt, but Krishna said that I will come back soon. And somehow everyone believed that, okay, even if Kamsa does some mischief there, Krishna has the ability to kill him and he will come back in a few days. Everyone believed that. But gopis never believed that. So, and gopis being cultured ladies in the Vedic society who are bound by social regulations and all that, so these gopis could not come out and speak. So they gathered in small groups in Vrindavan. And they sang this Viraha Gita. In this Viraha Gita, they were criticizing Akrura. Akrura, you are not Akrura, you are Krura, you are cruel. You are separating Krishna from us. Okay. And they said, okay, what did Akrura do? Krishna himself has no love upon us. That's why he is just leaving all of us. So whole night they were singing this Viraha Gita and they were anticipating, they were thinking that maybe some elder will get some common sense, some intelligence to intervene and then stop Krishna. Can't they realize that they are sending their lives away from Vrindavan? Krishna going out of Vrindavan means our life is going out of our bodies. And these Vrajavasis, they are unable to understand this. These elders, they are unable to use their advanced intelligence to figure this out. What's happening here? So the gopis were in great anguish, great agitation. So they were singing Viraha Gita throughout the night. So, of course, Bhakta Samhita also says that Krishna expanded himself into as many number of gopis are there. And they met each and every gopi and pacified the gopis and said that, my dear gopis, so it's unavoidable. My visit to Mathura is unavoidable. Last one decade, I have been absorbed. I absorbed myself completely in your love and affection. Now is the time for me to go and do dharma samsthapana, paritranaya, sadhana, manashaya, dushkartam. Okay. And especially he gave a promise to Srimati Radharani. Very long and heart-touching conversation. But Krishna tried to pacify them. But how would they be pacified? So the gopis of Vrindavan, they sang this Viraha Gita throughout the night. Till morning, no change. They could not sleep on. So till morning, nobody was coming out to stop Krishna. All arrangements, all preparations were just happening. for Krishna's visit to Mathura. And Krishna mounted on his chariot, Balaramji also got into the chariot, Akrura got into the chariot, and his chariot was about to move. Nanda Maharaj and many other people were also going out. And finally, the gopis said that nobody is going to do anything. Only we have to intervene. So all the gopis just came out on the roads, and some gopis went and caught the horses of Akrura's chariot. And some gopis caught the driver and just pulled him down and started beating him. And some gopis went and caught the wheels of Akrura's chariot. Some gopis went and caught Balaramji, please don't go. And some gopis went and hugged Krishna, embraced Krishna and then said, please don't go, please don't go. So some gopis, they lied on the road and said, Akrura, if at all you want to take Krishna outside Vrindavan, go take your chariot over our bodies, over our dead bodies. So like that, they openly, publicly revealed their heart's inner emotions for Krishna, because they cannot even bear the thought of separation from Krishna. And this is the mood in which Mahaprabhu was absorbed in Antyalila, especially during the last 18 years, more specifically in the last 12 years of his pastimes, manifest pastimes in Jagannathpur, last 12 years. So out of 48 years, last 12 years, he completely dedicated. It's 1/4 of his life he dedicated just to relish the feelings of gopis and Srimati Radharani in specific. Right? So then Krishna finally pacified them with his glances only, and he left. Actually, Krishna also felt intense separation from the gopis. Although Sukadeva Goswami describes Viraha Gita elaborately and describes the feelings of separation that gopis felt for Krishna when he was leaving Vrindavan, Krishna also felt that separation. When Krishna was touring Mathura city, he was watching all those ladies and trying to search for faces that resemble the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna wept secretly within his heart, he wept in separation from the gopis. But Sukadeva Goswami is not on the side of Krishna. He may be weeping or he may be doing whatever. He cannot cause so much pain to gopis. Sukadeva Goswami was on the side of gopis. So he didn't describe Krishna's separation so much. He only described gopis' separation. Okay. Gopis' anguish, anxiety, and pain. Okay. So, Sukadeva Goswami definitely had a lot of appreciation for the gopis and their feelings of separation, and even Krishna also had. Krishna felt that the love that the gopis have for me, I don't have for them. Of course, he has, no doubt about that. But he feels that I don't have the ability to reciprocate with the love and affection that they show for me. Even within a day of Brahma also, I cannot repay their debt. Na parayeham niravarte sambhijam. So, generally, when you take a loan from somebody, you will say, I will return it in 6 months. I will return it in 1 year. Easy monthly installment, EMI, okay, over a period of 7 years or 5 years. Some kind of time is set to repay the loan. But Krishna received so much of love and affection from the gopis. He says, even if you give me the time of one full life of Brahma, lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay the loan. I am bankrupt. I have nothing to pay you. I can understand. I have no source of earning. I have nothing to repay you. Be satisfied with your own love. Okay. That degree, a gopi loves Krishna. And the best of all gopis is Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu is absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. So these are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannathpuri. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for the very beautiful class. Prabhuji, I just have one question on the gopis. So you mentioned that the gopis, they were waiting for someone else to actually, some of the elder gopis, elder people in Vrindavan to stop Krishna. But why didn't they stop Krishna? Why? I mean, what were the others? They also have so much of love, Vatsalya love. Everyone has affection towards Krishna. But why couldn't any of them say a word, including Nanda Maharaj? But of course, Nanda Maharaj also knows that he is not, he is Vasudeva's son. Maybe that's why he was allowing him to go.
Actually, nobody was happy to send Krishna to Vrindavan. From Vrindavan to Mathura. But they were obliged because it was Kamsa's order. Kamsa was known to be a very cruel tyrant king. And he ordered that these Vrajavasis come with their taxes to Mathura. And then he also specifically ordered that Krishna and Balram also be brought from Vrindavan to Mathura. Nobody could dare to obstruct it. And on top of it, not just Kamsa's order, Krishna convinced them. So Krishna heard from Akrura. Akrura told, my dear Krishna, a mother who has given birth to a child like you should not suffer like this. Can you just imagine the anguish and the pain that Mother Devaki was undergoing in Mathura in separation from you for the last one decade? She gave you birth and she could see you only for a few minutes on your birthday. For one decade, she was constantly remembering you and she's unable to do anything about it. Vasudev also had similar pain. And recently, just a few days back, Kamsa again tried to kill Devaki and Vasudev. But somehow Narada Muni intervened and then stopped. It's a long story. Some other time we can discuss. But Akrura described the pain of Devaki and Vasudev in Mathura Dasa's sermons. And Krishna also, and before this, Narada Muni came and told Krishna, Krishna, you have given sufficient time to Vrajavasis, and in that you have sufficiently enjoyed your Vrindavan pastimes for a decade. Now please do something and kill this Kamsa, kill Jarasandha. You have a lot of work to do in the coming time. So please come to Mathura. So Krishna, now Krishna, when he became 10 years old, he started thinking that I have to shift my pastimes to Mathura. So then he spoke in a convincing way to Nanda Maharaj and the elders there. So it's the men who were taking this decision. And the men, although they have a lot of emotions and feelings for Krishna, they have to act in a more logical and official manner, because they are the heads of that village and they are obliged and they are obedient, supposed to be obedient to the king. So they have to follow. Yashoda Mata could not speak a single word. She was hearing the whole conversation that was happening between Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and all the elders who have assembled there. And Purnamasi also comes and then gives. If Krishna goes to Mathura, there will be auspiciousness for everyone because Kamsa will die. But there could be a delay in Krishna's coming back. That's all she said. She did not say how much delay. Okay, that delay could be 100 years. That she did not indicate. People thought delay means 2-3 days. Okay, maybe 4 days. Okay. So tomorrow is Trayodashi. Day after tomorrow is Chaturdashi. Chaturdashi is the Dhanuryaga. Then the next day Krishna will come back. The people thought like that. Maybe one day late. So everybody, most people believed that Krishna is going to come back in a couple of days. That's all. In 2-3 days, Krishna will come back. But gopis never believed this. Gopis could not believe this. So although all the Vrajavasis loved Krishna so much, Madhurya Rasa is the topmost. Gopis are the topmost of all devotees. So that's why they are in intense feelings of separation. So gopi means one who keeps their love for Krishna secretly within her heart. Gopya. Okay, gopya means to keep things secret. So all the Vrajavasis had opportunities to express their love and emotions for Krishna,
So they would just go and embrace Krishna. When Krishna comes out of Kalyale, they would go and embrace Krishna. When Krishna lifts Govardhana and keeps it back, they will come and then congratulate Krishna, speak to Krishna. But these younger gopis, Madhurya gopis, because of culture and social customs and then Vedic standards, they cannot come in front of Krishna and openly congratulate him or hug him. They cannot. They are shy. They have to stand at one distance and then just shower some sidelong glances on Krishna and then bend their head because of the culture. So they are always in separation from Krishna. Because they are the topmost devotees of Krishna, they are in feelings of separation. And when Krishna goes out, they are the ones affected the most. So does it make sense, Mataji? Does it answer your question?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes. Yeah, especially when can you hear me, Prabhuji?
No, I can hear. Sorry. I did not put the earphones. No.
Yes, Prabhuji, yes, it does answer. It is very painful. When Mother Yashoda could not say anything because the decision is not in her hands. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I request all devotees to please raise your hands if you have any questions. Kaumudaki Mataji's audio has trouble, so that's why she's not able to speak. Or we can't hear her, although she's trying to.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can I ask a question?
Please go ahead, Anuradha Mataji.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for the beautiful, beautiful class. So emotional. Prabhu, I don't know how do I word it. I will try my best. We have been recommended as sadhakas to do Vaidhi Bhakti. But when we hear about Bhagavatam, particularly Canto 10 and this part of Gopis and Chaitanya Charitamrita, so much of it, this is all in Raganuga Bhakti. So for a sadhaka, how do one moves to Raganuga Bhakti? So if you answer, I have a second part of it, or maybe a little more. So if you can go ahead first with it, I will ask the next question.
A sadhaka bhakta has to first stick to the regimen given to them by the acharyas. So acharyas have given a certain regimen. Get up in the morning, attend Mangalarti, chant the holy names of Krishna 16 rounds, and worship Tulasi, read Bhagavatam, do Vaishnava Seva. These are certain things that are given to us. So when will we develop that raga is not in our hands. All we can say is when we do our sadhana strictly, sincerely, consistently, without any material motivations, one day Krishna will be pleased to bestow that raga, bestow that bhava within us. So just have to wait. It's not that, okay, one year I'll get, 2 years I'll get, or one lifetime I'll get. We're not sure. But we have to try our best. Okay, Mathis.
Yes, Prabhu. So since you mentioned the last part of it, that in the same life, so yeah, that was my next question. Suppose some sadhaka practicing devotee, if that person leaves the body with just doing Vedi Bhakti and but still desire to do Raganuga Bhakti, as you said, it's not in our hand. So yeah, but you said that it may be next life or any life. So yeah, Prabhu. And because as Prabhupada mentions in, I think, many of his purport, at least few I remember, where Prabhupada says, even if one gets into the Raganuga Bhakti, at least for us, they continue doing the Vaidhi Bhakti too. They do not leave the Vaidhi Bhakti because they are the example for us. So, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Externally, we may not even recognize also. Where are they? Yeah. Which level are they?
Yeah, and there is always this chance that I maybe feel that I am feeling Raganuga Bhakti as a sadhaka, being a super neophyte, but I might be, you know, into Sahajiya path. So that is another scary thing. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.
Any other question?
Does anyone else have any questions? No.
Okay. We'll...
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much for accepting our being with us today. It was a beautiful class and very, very nice, insightful answers. Thank you so much, I think, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a nice class. You blessed us all when you came here and said the class. Can you come here more times to give us more nice classes and knowledge? Thank you, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, I need your blessings. Hare Krishna.
Okay, if there are no more questions, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful association and for such a beautiful class on this topic. It is definitely very difficult for us to even understand these transformations and the ecstasy that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is experiencing. So I offer my respectful obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnav vrind ki jai namacharya srila haridas thakur ki jai srila prabhupad ki jai chaitanya charitamrita ki jai his grace gauranga darshan prabhuji ki jai all the devotees ki jai
dandavat pranam to everyone.